And if we're going to see life accurately, one of the most important ways we need Jesus's vision is we need his eye in the storm.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. We're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Central North Carolina in a series that we've titled Peace in a Pandemic, the power of seeing the crisis through the eyes of Jesus. Obviously, in the current situation that this whole world is going through, church has had to pivot in general, and especially with the way we worship together, and in most cases, quite virtually. So we're bringing you this very timely series preached just weeks ago by Pastor Alan to his home congregation. We trust it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you to give you strength to endure. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now. Again, very timely for our current situation. It's a CD audio album called Growing Deep in Times of Stress, and these are stressful times. It can be yours for your donation this month to Sharing the Light. As you listen to today's message on the pandemic, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now let's get started with today's teaching, Peace in a Pandemic. Here is Pastor Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news? When we see life's storms through the eyes of Jesus, they just don't seem so scary anymore. And we, therefore, can learn to have his eye in the storm. Our scripture today is from Matthew chapter 8, a marvelous story of Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Matthew 8, at verse 23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even winds and sea obey him?" Even the winds and the sea obey him. We're in a series that is about learning to see as Jesus sees. And a simple prayer, a simple spiritual discipline to ask the Lord of every situation, "Lord, how do you see this?" With that in mind, someone sent me a video, an image of an optical illusion that I could just hardly believe. It's just a picture, as you see, of blue horizontal lines and some vertical lines. And of course, it appears the blue horizontal lines are all angled at different angles, kind of chaotic. Would you be surprised if I told you that these blue horizontal lines are actually perfectly parallel? Maybe you're like me, you just can't even believe it. These lines right here are perfectly parallel to one another. Don't pause the screen right now and start trying to figure it out. They really actually are parallel. What's happening is all the activity and all of the different things that are going on, I don't know how, it tricks the brain. And I think life can be like that, where storms come, a pandemic comes, you go through adversities, and these are like complications that make what might really be still a well-ordered life, that which was parallel and in order, feel like it's all out of kilter. What if it's possible that the problem is not in the way we manage our thoughts or the way we try to curb our behaviors or to control our speech? What if the problem is we don't see things accurately. And if we're going to see life accurately, one of the most important ways we need Jesus' vision is we need his eye in the storm. We'll see a contrast in our story between how the disciples saw the storm and how Jesus saw it. Jesus, how do you see the storm of a global pandemic? How do you see the storms and adversities in my life? If you get his eyes, it'll change everything. Have you ever gotten trapped in a bad storm? Thankfully, I've never been in a hurricane or a tornado. Don't ever want to be in one. But if you have grown up in North Carolina and spent most of your life in North Carolina as I have, you are quite familiar with a thunderstorm and how easily they will pop up on a humid summer afternoon, often with very little warning. And I'm not scared of storms. In fact, I'm one of those people, I kind of sleep through the storms as long as I'm in my cozy bed in my house. It's happened more than once that Ann, the next morning, we wake up in the morning, she said, "Boy, did you hear all that wind and all that thunder last night and see the lightning flash?" And I'm like, "What wind? Was there a storm last night?" She said, "You didn't hear that. I can sleep through it in my cozy little bed." But I'll tell you one place that I do not want to be when there is a thunderstorm, and it happens to be one of my favorite places to be on a nice day, and that is on the golf course. You do not want to be on a golf course in the middle of a thunderstorm. Now, I know I talk about golf too much in sermon illustrations, but you know, when all you got is Jesus and you love your family and you got the Bible and then you got golf, there's not much left. So anyway, I would tell you, when you play golf, you can ride in a golf cart or you can walk. And 95% of the time I walk because I like to get to exercise. And when you walk nine holes, you leave the clubhouse, you go out, you walk nine holes, and most golf courses, you wind up back at the clubhouse, and then there's another nine holes. And to walk nine holes, it takes, it's about a three and a half, sometimes 4 mile walk, and it takes roughly a couple hours to play the nine holes. So you can imagine, if you're out walking nine holes, by the time you get back to the clubhouse, a couple hours has gone by, you're walking 3 or 4 miles, and on a humid afternoon in North Carolina, a thunderstorm could pop up even if it had not been on the radar ahead of time, even if you'd scouted out the weather, and you don't want to get stuck out in the middle of the golf course. I'm kind of amused. Golf carts usually have a sticker that tells you what to do in case lightning is near. Now, I don't think you can read this on your screen right here, but if you hear thunder, it says lightning is near. Now, this is from the USGA, the United States Golf Association, their sort of official lightning safety tips. Get a load of this. Here's what you're supposed to avoid. Get this. It's in a golf cart. You're on a golf course. You're supposed to avoid tall objects like trees. Oh, are there any trees on the golf course? Okay. Avoid small shelters. Well, if there is a bathroom or something on the golf course, it's a small shelter. Avoid large open areas. You mean like a fairway on a golf course. Avoid wet areas, like if you're getting rained on and you're standing in the wet grass of a golf course. And then I love this. Avoid metal objects, including golf clubs and golf carts. You know, it's just so silly. It's like, what are you going to do? And in the fine print, get this. This is really, I'm reading it. If sudden close-in lightning does not permit immediate evacuation to a safer place, spread out from your group, squat down, tuck your head. It really says this, and cover your ears. I've been playing golf for about 38 years, and I can guarantee you, I've never seen a grown man or a woman on a golf course squatting down and covering up their ears. What is it? Is that just so, like, when you do get electrocuted, at least you won't hear the thunder and ruin your eardrums? I don't know what it's saying. What are you supposed to do? Seek large permanent building. What they're saying is, be at home or be in the clubhouse, but don't be in the clubhouse. They could just reduce the entire lightning warning thing down to this. Don't be on a golf course. You're describing a golf course. Well, you don't want to be out there.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Well, it has happened. And a few years back, it happened that I'm on a golf course with a friend playing nine holes at the championship course at Tanglewood Park. There was some darker clouds in the distance by the time we got to hole 17. And on the 17th hole, you're not too far from a facility at Tanglewood that they call the Barn. It's a metal building. They hold activities in there. And it was closed, so we couldn't go in it. But we could have said, well, if a storm's coming, we could go crouch on the wet concrete underneath the porch of this building. But the clouds looked like they were in the distance. And we said, well, I think we can get the last hole in. Well, the last hole at Tanglewood is hole number 18. And on a sunshiny day, it's a beautiful hole. It actually comes up from the other side, what we call a dogleg, and it's up a big hill. I kind of hate that hill. It's hard to hit a good shot from down below that hill. But on this day, there was no sunshine, and the clouds were rolling in. We went ahead and hit our tee shots. And as we're walking down the fairway towards our golf balls, it happened. Kaboom! I mean, just right on top of us. Just seemingly out of nowhere, lightning and thunder. You know that trick where you're supposed to be able to count after you see the lightning? 1,000, 2,000, and however many seconds before you hear the thunder is a rough estimate of how many miles away the actual electricity is. There was no counting. It was the same moment. Lightning and thunder, the same time. Kaboom! Kaboom! And it was just completely terrifying. So we just both instinctively start trying to just run up this hill. Rain starts coming down, pelting us. And I mean, it's just horrifying. And I'm just thinking, you know, what are we going to do? Can we make it to the clubhouse in time? It was unbelievable. And as we are making our way up that hill, I was thinking, there are many questions that my playing partner, my friend, could have asked me. And knowing him, he might have asked me something sarcastic like, why did you get us to play golf today? Or knowing him, he might say something, if you die, can I have your 3 wood? I can think of a lot of questions he might ask me, but I can guarantee you one question that he would have never thought to ask me, and if he had asked me, I would have thought the lightning had already zapped his brain. For sure, he wasn't going to ask me, why are you afraid? Why am I afraid? Because we're violating every single one of the lightning safety precautions on a golf course. It is strange. When they woke up Jesus, the first question out of his mouth to the disciples was, why are you afraid? the storm that they faced was on the Sea of Galilee. It is actually a freshwater lake that is located in the area of Galilee. So Jerusalem is in this area, and the Jordan River that then comes up to the Sea of Galilee, as it's called, in the area not very far from Capernaum, right there at the lake, and not real far from Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. And it's a beautiful lake. I've actually had the privilege of being there before on a pretty sunshiny day. You can see it's just a beautiful, glorious sight, and tourists today enjoy going there. You'll notice that this is surrounded by some mountainous hillsides that have deep sort of cavernous valleys. And the meteorologists say that what happens is that those concave areas serve like wind tunnels. And the Sea of Galilee is below sea level. It's the second lowest elevation. It's below sea level of any lake in the world. And I think it's the lowest freshwater. Maybe the Dead Sea is the only one lower. And something about how low of the sea level and the mountains around it, the way the winds come in and the way the climate can work, you can have a sudden squall just kick up in the middle of what seems to be a nice afternoon. And that's what happened with the disciples. They had joined Jesus on the boat, and they had begun to travel across it's about a 15-mile wide lake, and up comes out of nowhere this storm. The image that Matthew has in mind and the word that he uses, a word that he uses elsewhere, describing it as megas, which means enormous, and he calls the storm a seismos, which is usually used to speak of an earthquake. So it's two words together, the megas seismos. Matthew called it a huge shaking, a storm of gigantic proportions. And remember, they are not on a cruise ship. This is not a battleship. It's not a motorboat. This is the first century, and it's a pretty rudimentary fishing vessel. Fascinating. I think it was in 1965, the Sea of Galilee water level grew low, and some archaeologists found in the sands of the beach an actual fishing boat from the first century, the exact kind of boat they would be in. And it's part of it is preserved in a museum in Israel now, and they've made replicas of this boat that tourists go out, and you can go on the Sea of Galilee and see the tour. So it's a relatively small boat. Had some of the disciples, could have been maybe even 10 to 15 people that were on it, and a mega storm has arisen. It's interesting to me that Mark records that Jesus was asleep on a cushion, and scholars say there wouldn't have been a cushion. So it may have been Jesus took his own cushion and planned to take a nap, perhaps even knowing that a storm was coming. But while the storm is raging and the winds are blowing, who knows, 50-mile-an-hour gusts, enough that was making the sea come up over and begin flooding the boat, and they are fearing for their lives, and Jesus is down there having a nice little nap, sleeping in the middle of the megas seismos. Matthew records it this way, that Jesus awoke and spoke to the disciples before he spoke to the storm. And he said, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" And I just am trying to envision the scene, because it's a storm, folks. And the wind is howling, and the lake is just rolling with waves. It's loud. Have you ever tried to talk to someone in a loud wind? You ever tried to talk to someone in the middle of a thunderstorm? He didn't get up from his nap and say, now, why are you afraid? He had to be hollering it out as he woke up. Why are you afraid? You have little faith. Such a dramatic moment. And there's a lot to be learned from how Jesus speaks to them. But first, what we learn from what they have to say to Jesus. And they really say only three words according to Matthew. Save, Lord, perishing. When you look at the Greek text, that's all it says. Kyrios, sozo kyrios apolemi. Save, Lord, perishing. Save, Lord, perishing. John Eldridge has suggested that we can learn a lot about ourselves and others by the way that we pray. The things that we say to God, the way we beseech Him, the way we talk to Him, the way we intercede. And Eldridge, I think, a great insight. He said, sometimes people pray like a slave would talk to a master. And slaves don't ask for much. They just don't want to get punished.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light. And today's teaching is Eye in the Storm. It's from our series, Peace in a Pandemic, The Power of Seeing the Crisis Through the Eyes of Jesus, most recently preached virtually at his home congregation. Pastor Alan is back with us here in just a moment with our final closing thought for today. Stick with us.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. I'm back with Pastor Alan now in this series, Peace in a Pandemic, and we have scrambled to get this on the air. These are very recent messages that you have preached in the middle of the pandemic, virtually to an empty room. And this one, His Eye in the Storm. I mean, if we've ever faced a storm, especially together in the same boat, it's where we all are in right now. Certainly, this was timely.
We are in the same boat, aren't we? And here's the good news. Jesus is right in the boat with us. And you have a perspective. I have a perspective. We all have our perspectives. But what we're learning about is getting Jesus's perspective. Some things we see, we think we see it accurately, and we don't. You know, I think Jesus, sometimes Daniel maybe was genuinely surprised. Maybe he, as a human being, didn't know everything, and maybe he was just surprised. And when he said, why are you afraid? Maybe he's wondering why don't you know, just didn't understand maybe. How could they not trust that the creator of the universe is here in the boat with them? But he is in the boat, and he's sleeping because he's not worried. The fear of the disciples seems to be more on Jesus' heart than the storm. He speaks to them, and then he speaks to the storm. And I think Jesus wants to speak to our own hearts. However this storm is affecting you, whether it's affecting your health or your business, or even in the saddest of cases, has caused you grief by the loss of someone you love, whatever it might be, I want you to know Jesus cares. He's in the middle of the storm with you, and he'll never leave you. And in a blink of an eye, in just the whisper of his voice,
He can silence any storm. So I'm praying that the knowledge of Jesus being with you will sustain you when the waters get rocky.
This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.